you've been involved in any type of accident, bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. Bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh, better call Maaco, 226-0992. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work is backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Right now, buy a one-year extended warranty, get an extra year free. Or buy a two-year warranty and get an extra year free. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop by your local Maaco at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh, better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Your host hasn't seen everything in sports, but sometimes he acts like it, and his guests probably have. Now, the host of Scorecard Scribblings, your sports guy, Brent Weber.
Welcome back to another edition of Scorecard Scribblings. This one will also potentially be a nice preview of our game of the week coming on Friday night. We'll be at West Valley High School. Entertaining the Enterprise Hornets, our first look at the Hornets this year. We'll be seeing them in back-to-back broadcasts. And we're also looking forward to seeing what Coach Chris Combs has got to give us this year. It's 2019, a brand new season. And he joins us now in this opening segment of Scorecard Scribblings. Coach Combs, one thing about this game, other than the scrimmage, we haven't seen exactly what you're going to be rolling out for us. You going to give me any hints as to what the Hornets are going to be running this year?
Not too much different than what we've ran last couple of years. You know, we're kind of a spread-based offense. You know, we're probably utilizing the pass just as much as we're utilizing the run. And then defensively, you know, pretty basic forefront defense. You know, we move a lot of guys around and try to get different looks as best as possible and try to keep teams off guard. But, you know, nothing too out of the ordinary.
We look at last year, and for some, you know, it just kind of snowballed in some cases.
You know, the injury bug was a big deal for us. I mean, we had guys go down in key positions. But, you know, what I liked from our guys is we just kept playing the next guy up, and we were competitive in the games that we, you know, even the games we lost, we were competitive, and we were fighting until the end. And, you know, that spirit and that competitive edge that the guys played with, I think, is kind of, you know, helped us carry over into this season, and not to take for granted, like, you know, when we're healthy, we gotta capitalize on things. And then, you know, guys are already know that their number is going to get called if somebody goes down, and we're going to be prepared for that. You know, there's a lot of, we have our own expectations and what we want to do with this season and where we want to go and where we want to be at the end of it. I think, you know, last year you look at our record and you look at, well, that was much of a record to speak of, but there was a lot of good things that still came out of that if you were involved in our program and you know what our kids are working for and towards for this season.
You've got a, you know, you're running that offense. It puts a lot of heat, a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Quarterback already gets a lot of attention. Now, we've heard senior Pierce Embry and junior Zach McNeil. Are those two still the two guys at the top of the pecking order there?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I would say Pierce is probably going to start Friday night, and Zach will see some time there as well. But you know, they're probably going to be in a battle all year long, and you know, they're good with each other. They work really well with each other in practice. They're very coachable kids, and we don't put extra pressure on them, like, hey, if you don't perform, you're not going to play type thing. But they understand that, you know, that if some guy's hot, we might ride the hot hand.
Sure. Just a couple more questions. You guys are starting in the, you know, the traditional week one. You're taking on a team that's already played twice. That's a pretty good football team as well. Pros and cons to playing a team that's already played twice and you guys not having been out there yet?
Oh, the cons, I mean, I guess you could say is they got two games under their belt. You know, they've had a chance to work out a lot of wrinkles, especially like those first game type wrinkles. You know, the pros for us is we're fresh. We're not banged up. You know, I'm not sure where they're at, but I've watched them play twice and they play physical and they've played two physical teams. So, we got fresh bodies coming in, but we're also, you know, we're going to be under the lights for the first time for the season. So there's our con. And then, like I said, our pro is our guys are healthy and fresh, ready to go and probably really excited. You know, there's nothing like the first game of the season. I mean, energy will be at an all time high. Where they're kind of already slipping into, you know, a little bit of their midseason form already.
And this is one of those games where, you know, IG School's been playing from the beginning of West Valley time. And, you know, so there's always been some classic matchups. Any memories or veterans that you've pulled out of the hat this week to let the kids know about how important this game can be?
We always try to talk about, you know, the guys that came before, the guys that we have here now and how hard they played and what they've done and the sacrifices they've made to put this program kind of where it's at, you know, in modern day. And part of that was, you know, playing teams like West Valley that used to be in our league a while back and back when I played actually. Mm-hmm. And then understanding that, like, they have an obligation to uphold that history of this program, and it's a heavy weight to carry at times. But you know, these kids, they rise up to it. I mean, every day we challenge them, and every game is a challenge for them as well. And they're accepting of it, and they look forward to it. They know what's on the line. They know where they're at, and you know, especially us winning the last two seasons against West Valley, we're gonna see West Valley's probably best game so far.
Well, that is a perfect final answer. Thank you, Coach, so much for the time. I'm fired up. I'm excited, and I'm sure the fans are as well, and appreciate you taking the time out to chat with us, and I will look forward to Friday night. It'll be here before we all know it. That's been Coach Chris Combs with the Enterprise Hornets. Straight ahead, Dave Cohen, you may not know his name, and you may not know his college football team, the Georgia State Panthers. Well, he is the voice of the team on radio, who pulled off the biggest upset of this college football season so far. And we'll talk to Dave about what that was like for them last Saturday. And then later on, we will hear from West Valley's head coach, Greg Grandel. That'll come up before this hour is up on Scorecard Scribbling. Thanks, Coach Combs. All right, we'll be back with more in just a moment.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Mary Shelley's spine-tingling classic comes to the Reading stage in all its theatrical glory. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, adapted by Andrew Billiter, directed by Matt McDonald. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30. Sunday matinees at 2. September 21st through October 19th. Come see a show unlike anything you've seen on the Riverfront stage before, if you dare.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Scorecard Scribblings with yours truly, Brent Weber, and I am proud to introduce one of my oldest friends in life and in the business, Dave Cohen, who is the longtime voice of the Georgia State University Panthers. Now, why do we, recording the show in Redding, California, have the voice of the Georgia State University Panthers on the airwaves? Well, that's because it's college football season, folks, and hands down, the most shocking result of this campaign so far was Georgia State, a team out of the city of Atlanta, and we'll give a little more history about it in a minute, but taking on the Big Orange, and we mean big, 100,000 folks in Neyland Stadium expecting to just roll right past Georgia State, and it did not happen. The biggest shock of this very young college football season. So, Dave, you were making the call. You've made every call, I guess, for Georgia State football since the program began, but 38-30, the final score, and dare I say, Georgia State's win wasn't even that close.
No, it wasn't. It turned out to be a great afternoon. I've told more than one person who's asked me about it, I never saw that coming. You know, we played up there in 2012. Bill Curry's last year as head football coach and ended up losing 51-13. And we were 2-10 last year in the ninth season, so we start the 10th season on the road on a big stage, Neyland Stadium, Knoxville, and, you know, we can delve into the game more, but ended up getting out of there with an 8-point win. I did want to tell your listeners that, I arrived at Georgia State back in 1982, Georgia State in the middle of downtown Atlanta, four blocks from CNN, to give your listeners kind of a little idea where we are. But when I got here, I got involved in the radio station at Georgia State, and there was a kid by the name of Brent Weber doing the games at Georgia State. And I remember coming into the station, and after a while, I met you, and I got to know you, and you kind of took me under your wing and showed me the ropes of, the broadcast business, at least at the level that we were at. And so I was able to learn under you, I think, for a year or two before you graduated and then moved on. I believe your first job was at Dalton, Georgia, if I remember correctly.
That's correct.
And then you, I know you were at in Chattanooga for a while, obviously on the big stage at CNN, and, you know, you've been to a number of different places, but, you know, it always goes back to, you know, who can you learn under? And, you know, I guess for the last 37 years, I've had you to thank, for taking me under your wing and showing me the ropes, of the broadcast business that you and I were in at the time. And, you know, honestly, I never thought, you know, you graduated, you went on to bigger and better things. And, you know, I never expected to stay at Georgia State for 37 years. This is my 37th. I never thought I would still be here. I figured I would probably do something along the lines that you did. And I you know, that, I mean, just to go out and explore and get other jobs. But ultimately what happened is I started working in radio in Atlanta while I was at Georgia State commercially. And then I ended up meeting my wife at Georgia State in athletics. And we ended up, you know, we're still married after 20 whatever years, and both of our kids went through daycare at Georgia State. Her family's in Atlanta, and, you know, she, again, she's been at Georgia State now 30 years full time. So 10 years became 15, 15 became 20. You open up your eyes one day and it's 25, and all of a sudden it's 37 one day. But I never thought I would be here this long. But, you know, life kind of, you know, we make plans and then life does what it does. And so here you and I talk on this Tuesday after all these years, but I have you to thank for the fact that, I'm number one, even doing what I do, but number two, that I've been able to develop as a broadcaster because, you know, I had you in front of me kind of showing me the ropes and being the mentor to me that I guess I try to be to others after learning from you.
Well, Dave, that's a really very nice thing for you to say. You know, personally, I think, you far exceeded whatever, whatever I was able to show you. And we were kids who had high expectations of ourselves that revolved around the game. I think that's one thing we always had in common. We both love the game. And what I say is, kind of lacking in sports somewhat, and we can get back around to this, today, is that people become so wrapped up in, you know, in college, is he, you know, where does he project, as a football or basketball player? You know, it's all about the big money or the shoe contracts or this, that, or the other. And to you and I both, one thing I think we've always had in common is that every time the clock starts ticking, whatever the sport is, or the first pitch is thrown, we focus in on that story that day, which is that game, which ultimately is what people enjoy, the game itself.
Yeah. Well, there's no question. Obviously, professional sports has been a business for a long time. And certainly, I think you and I would be on the same page to say, not only at the professional level, but, you know, the Power Five level of college athletics on the West Coast. I'm sure you hear a lot more Pac-12. Over here, everything is the ACC and the SEC. But I think at the highest levels, those Power Five conferences and most of the Power Conference schools, they basically operate just shy of being professional franchises when it comes to the way they operate and the money that they're operating with. You see it periodically at our level, and we're what I call in the group of five. So we're a mid-major. Georgia State's in the Sun Belt Conference. But in the Sun Belt and Conference USA and the MAC and so on and so forth, you know, it's becoming more and more of what we call the athletics arms race, which has been going on for years at the upper level, you know, with regards to facilities. You know, you have, there are actually a couple of schools in the Sun Belt that are building what we'll call indoor or covered practice facilities above and beyond the stadiums that they play in.
Wow.
You know, primarily, you know, you would only hear about that, you know, in the ACC or the SEC.
Or Oklahoma. Oklahoma had those, and that, of course, that's a huge, you know, middle of the country.
Right, but that's a Power Five conference.
Power Five, you're right, you're right.
I'm talking at our level, you know, where the dollars do not flow. Going back to Saturday's game at Tennessee, you know, they're called guarantee games. And it's a guarantee game because usually the mid-major Power Five is guaranteed to get a check for X amount of dollars. Well, what I've always called that is, if you remember President Ronald Reagan's term of trickle-down economics,
yeah.
It's trickle-down economics in college athletics and college football because, you know, the ACC, the SEC, they, all the Power Five conferences have massive, massive national television contracts.
Right.
And each one of those schools is pulling in millions from television alone. That money never gets its filters down. The only way that money filters its way down to the Group of Five and to the FCS, you have to go on the road and play them in a football game in order to get it. The big story, the big sidebar story about the Georgia State win at Tennessee was that not only did we leave Neyland Stadium in Knoxville with a 38-30 win, but we also left with $950,000 of guarantee money from Tennessee. So
wow.
it's a double whammy. For us, on the positive side, with a win and a check, it's a double whammy. On the other side, for Tennessee, a horrendous loss. And at the end of the day, they still had to sit and write the check for $950,000 to Georgia State University Athletics.
As folks may or may not know, first win for the GSU program over a Power Five conference, obviously over an SEC team. I can remember a few years ago when Bill Curry, who's one of my, and you know this, dating back to his days at Georgia Tech, one of my real true heroes, I think, in terms of sports figures. Just thought he was always, a top-notch man. And anyway, when he had one of those deals where he played Alabama, and I can remember watching it while I was working in Oklahoma City at a Buffalo Wild Wings. A friend of mine was the manager, and since it was a Thursday, right, I think, or a Wednesday, it was a weird night of the week. I remember watching
it. Thursday.
I can remember he put it on the big screen for me because there were no other games. And to get his servers into Georgia State, he promised them that they only had to do as many setups, you know, roll up the knives, forks, and all for the next morning. They would have to do as many setups as the point differential. And so they were rooting for Georgia State because they didn't want to have to do, you know, 50 or 60 or 70 knives and forks in that game. What was the final of that one? You guys paid the price in that one, as I recall.
Yeah, we did, 63-7. Now, let me just tell you a quick side story on that particular game. Bill Curry came in and for 2 years was here to help ramp the program up in 2008 and 2009 with the, you know, expressed intent on playing its first season in September of 2010. So I guess sometime in 2009 or late 2008, the phone rings at some point. You know, Bill Curry had coached at Alabama, and I think obviously still knew people over there. So he fields a phone call saying, or on the other end, it must have been the AD, asking, hey, would Georgia State like to play Alabama in a football game? Coach Curry said, of course. As he told me the story, he did not initially think that it was going to be at the end of the first season. He thought Alabama was calling for maybe the second or third season. So they're saying, no, we're looking at X date in 2010. It pays this much. Do you want it or do you not want it? So Coach Curry tells the story of hanging up, saying, I'll call you back. He has the powwow with our athletic director at the time. And they decide to take the game. It paid out $400,000, and it was to be played on a Saturday. It was the week before the Iron Bowl, which is Alabama-Auburn.
Right.
Somewhere in the negotiations, and I'm sure television played into it somehow because it was nationally televised, they agreed to move the game to Thursday night, which would give Alabama an extra few days to prepare for the Iron Bowl. And they threw in $35,000 extra dollars. So we played on a Thursday night in Tuscaloosa, got a check for $435,000 instead of straight up $400, and lost 63-7. Interesting, the only touchdown we scored was by a kid named Albert Wilson on a kick return, and he is now one of the top two receivers for the Miami Dolphins after spending the first 4 years of his career with Kansas City Chiefs.
How about that? And that's the stuff that you know, that the game is all about, I think. Dave Cohen is my guest on this edition of Scorecard Scribblings. Dave finds himself thrust into national prominence this week. I'm sure
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you've been taking calls from media moguls like myself from as far away as Redding, California, Texas, and other places. Dave is the longtime play-by-play voice of the Georgia State University Panthers. who shocked Tennessee 38-30 on Rocky Top. I'm stealing that from the headline on the GSU Sports website. Let's take a quick break, and we will come back with Dave Cohen, voice of the Georgia State Panthers. Talk a little bit about college football in general and the playoff picture, and then also get some more comments about what it was like to be calling that game. You're listening to Scorecards Scribblings with yours truly, Brent Weber. Back with more in a moment.
So what's Scorecard Scribblings all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
The Beaumont Boys, live at Wind River Resort and Casino. Just a couple of boys from Beaumont, Texas, who turned out to be country music icons. I got the key, she got the power. Mark Chestnut, Tracy Byrd, back-to-back Friday, September 27th. Tickets on sale at windriver.com.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, president of We Back the Blue Shasta. Our first responders need your help. PTSD is a crisis in our first responder community. Please remember during the car and campfires how important they were to you, your family, and your business. Today, there are more suicides than line-of-duty deaths, and we want your donations of raffle items and money will help us bring Project Code 9 here to help them identify and treat PTSD. Contact us or donate through our Facebook page at We Back the Blue Shasta.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
The heart is-
days of blue. Shoots up to the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. And you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return.
Scorecard Scribblings with yours truly, Brent Robinson. And I am proud to introduce one of my oldest friends in life and in the business, Dave Cohen, who is the longtime voice of the Georgia State University Panthers. Now, why do we, recording the show in Redding, California, have the voice of the Georgia State University Panthers on the airwaves? Well, that's because it's college football season, folks, and hands down, the most shocking result of this campaign so far was Georgia State, the team out of the city of Atlanta, and we'll give a little more history about it in a minute, but taking on the Big Orange, and we mean big, 100,000 folks in Neyland Stadium expecting to just roll right past Georgia State, and it did not happen. The biggest shock of this very young college football season. So, Dave, you were making the call. You've made every call, I guess, for Georgia State football since the program began, but 38-30 the final score, and dare I say, Georgia State's win wasn't even that close.
No, it wasn't. It turned out to be a great afternoon. I've told more than one person who's asked me about it. I never saw that coming. You know, we played up there in 2012. Bill Curry's last year as head football coach and ended up losing 51-13. And we were 2-10 last year in the ninth season. So we start the 10th season on the road on a big stage, Neyland Stadium, Knoxville. And, you know, we can delve into the game more, but ended up getting out of there with an 8-point win. I did want to tell your listeners that, I arrived at Georgia State back in 1982. Georgia State in the middle of downtown Atlanta, four blocks from CNN, to give your listeners kind of a little idea where we are. But when I got here, I got involved in the radio station at Georgia State, and there was a kid by the name of Brent Weber doing the games at Georgia State. And I remember coming into the station, and after a while, I met you, and I got to know you, and you kind of took me under your wing and showed me the ropes of, the broadcast business, at least at the level that we were at. And so I was able to learn under you, I think, for a year or two before you graduated and then moved on. I believe your first job was at Dalton, Georgia, if I remember correctly.
That's correct.
And, yep. And then you, I know you were in Chattanooga for a while, obviously on the big stage at CNN, and, you know, you've been to a number of different places. But, it always goes back to, who can you learn under? And, I guess for the last 37 years, I've had you to thank for taking me under your wing and showing me the ropes of the broadcast business that you and I were in at the time. And, honestly, I never thought, you graduated, you went on to bigger and better things. And, I never expected to stay at Georgia State for 37 years. This is my 37th. I never thought I would still be here. I figured I would probably do something along the lines that you did. And just to go out and explore and get other jobs. But ultimately what happened is I started working in radio in Atlanta while I was at Georgia State commercially. And then I ended up meeting my wife at Georgia State in athletics. And we ended up, we're still married after 20 whatever years, and both of our kids went through daycare at Georgia State. Her family's in Atlanta, and, she's been at Georgia State now 30 years full-time. So 10 years became 15, 15 became 20. You open up your eyes one day, and it's 25, and all of a sudden it's 37 one day. But I never thought I would be here this long. But, life kind of, we make plans, and then life does what it does. And so here you and I talk on this on this Tuesday after all these years, but I have you to thank for the number one, even doing what I do, but number two, that I've been able to develop as a broadcaster because, you know, I had you in front of me kind of showing me the ropes and being the mentor to me that I guess I try to be to others after learning from you.
Well, Dave, that's a really very nice thing for you to say. You know, personally, I think you far exceeded whatever I was able to show you. And we were kids who had high expectations of ourselves that revolved around the game. I think that's one thing we always had in common. We both love the game. And what I say is kind of lacking in sports somewhat, and we can get back around to this today, is that people become so wrapped up in, you know, in college as you know, where does he project as a football or basketball player? You know, it's all about the big money or the shoe contracts or this, that, or the other. And to you and I both, one thing I think we've always had in common is that every time the clock starts ticking, whatever the sport is or the first pitch is thrown, we focus in on that story that day, which is that game, which ultimately is what people enjoy, the game itself.
Yeah. Well, there's no question. Obviously, professional sports has been a business for a long time. And certainly, I think you and I would be on the same page to say, not only at the professional level, but, you know, the Power Five level of college athletics on the West Coast. I'm sure you hear a lot more Pac-12 over here. Everything is the ACC and the SEC. But I think at the highest levels, those Power Five conferences and most of the Power Conference schools, they basically operate just shy of being professional franchises when it comes to the way they operate and the money that they're operating with. You see it periodically at our level, and we're what I call in the group of five. So we're a mid-major. Georgia State's in the Sun Belt Conference. But in the Sun Belt and Conference USA and the MAC and so on and so forth, you know, it's becoming more and more of what we call the athletics arms race, which has been going on for years at the upper level, you know, with regards to facilities. You know, you have, there are actually a couple of schools in the Sun Belt that are building what we'll call indoor or covered practice facilities above and beyond the stadiums that they play in.
Wow.
You know, primarily, you know, you would only hear about that, you know, in the ACC or the SEC.
Or Oklahoma. Oklahoma had those, and of course, that's a huge, you know, middle of the country.
Right, but that's a Power Five conference.
Power Five, you're right. You're right.
I'm talking at our level, you know, where the dollars do not flow. Going back to Saturday's game at Tennessee, you know, they're called guarantee games, and it's a guarantee game because the mid-major Power Five is guaranteed to get a check for X amount of dollars. Well, what I've always called that is, if you remember President Ronald Reagan's term of trickle-down economics.
Yeah.
It's trickle-down economics in college athletics and college football because, you know, the ACC, the SEC, all the Power Five conferences have massive, massive national television contracts.
Right.
And each one of those schools is pulling in millions from television alone. That money never gets its filters down. The only way that money filters its way down to the group of five and to the FCS, you have to go on the road and play them in a football game in order to get it. The big story, the big sidebar story about the Georgia State win at Tennessee was that not only did we leave Neyland Stadium in Knoxville with a 38-30 win, but we also left with $950,000 of guarantee money from Tennessee. So
it's a
double whammy for us on the positive side with a win and a check. It's a double whammy on the other side for Tennessee, a horrendous loss. And at the end of the day, they still had to sit and write the check for $950,000 to Georgia State University Athletics.
As folks may or may not know, first win for the GSU program over a Power Five conference, obviously over an SEC team. I can remember a few years ago when Bill Curry, who's one of my, and you know this dating back to his days at Georgia Tech, one of my real true heroes, I think, in terms of sports figures, just thought he was always you know, a top-notch man. And anyway, when he had one of those deals where he played Alabama, and I can remember watching it while I was working in Oklahoma City at a Buffalo Wild Wings. A friend of mine was the manager, and since it was a Thursday, right, I think, or a Wednesday, it was a weird night of the week. I remember
yep,
watching
it was a Thursday.
Thursday. I can remember he put it on the big screen for me because there were no other games. And to get his servers into Georgia State, he promised them that they only had to do as many setups, you know, roll up the knives, forks, and all for the next morning. They only they would have to do as many setups as the point differential. And so they were rooting for Georgia State because they didn't want to have to do, you know, 50 or 60 or 70 knives and forks in that game. What was the final of that one? You guys paid the price in that one, as I recall.
Yeah, we did, 63-7. Now, let me just tell you a quick side story on that particular game. You know, Bill Curry came in and for 2 years was here to help ramp the program up in 2008 and 2009. With the, you know, expressed intent on playing its first season in September of 2010. So, I guess sometime in 2009 or late 2008, the phone rings at some point. You know, Bill Curry had coached at Alabama and I think obviously still knew people over there. So he fields a phone call saying, or on the other end, it must have been the AD asking, hey, would Georgia State like to play Alabama, in a football game? Coach Curry said, of course. I initially, as he would, as he told me the story, he did not initially think that it was going to be at the end of the first season. He thought Alabama was calling for maybe the second or third season. So they're saying, no, we're looking at X date in 2010. It pays this much. Do you want it or do you not want it? So Coach Curry tells the story of hanging up, saying, I'll call you back. He has a powwow with our athletic director at the time, and they decide to take the game. It paid out $400,000, and it was to be played on a Saturday. It was the week before the Iron Bowl, which is Alabama-Auburn.
Right.
Somewhere in the negotiations, and I'm sure television played into it somehow because it was nationally televised, they agreed to move the game to Thursday night, which would give Alabama an extra few days to prepare for the Iron Bowl, and they threw in $35,000 extra dollars. So we played on a Thursday night in Tuscaloosa, got a check for $435,000 instead of straight up $400,000, and lost 63-7. Interesting, the only touchdown we scored was by a kid named Albert Wilson on a kick return. And he is now one of the top two receivers for the Miami Dolphins after spending the first 4 years of his career with the Kansas City Chiefs.
How about that? And that's the stuff that, you know, that the game is all about, I think. Dave Cohen is my guest on this edition of Scorecard Scribblings. Dave finds himself thrust into national prominence this week. I'm sure
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you've been taking calls from media moguls like myself from as far away as Redding, California, Texas, and other places. Dave is the longtime play-by-play voice of the Georgia State University Panthers, who shocked Tennessee 38-30 on Rocky Top. I'm stealing that from the headline on the GSU Sports website. Let's take a quick break, and we will come back with Dave Cohen, voice of the Georgia State Panthers, talk a little bit about college football in general and the playoff, and also get some more comments about our cards.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures it comes to convert from all other choices. And yes, if we can't...
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'd
Welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. We are talking with the third winningest head coach. I just learned that, you know, the third winningest head coach in Northern Section history, tied with a legend now, Matt Hunsaker. Of course, Greg Brandel with West Valley. That's not why you're still doing it, to knock down numbers. So is it okay to call you a living legend, or are you not comfortable with that?
No, I'm not comfortable with that. That's not why I do it. It's gratifying, but it's fun for everyone, I think, and for the school, obviously, to get that many wins. But I didn't even know that until a few days ago, so I don't really keep track of it. But it's nice, of course. You know, I guess it's better than being the losingest coach in the section. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. We saw you first week on our first game of the week, my first game of the week with Casey and I, and you guys looked good. As delivered, you knocked Shasta down pretty well. And then last week, I was keeping up with the scores, you know, people would have been doing from whatever game they were at. And I thought, oh, my, West Valley is getting shut out, heading to the fourth quarter, and some magic happened. You know, that something magic was going on there in that fourth as you rallied for the 2014 win over Foothill.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't play well. You know, there's a natural physical lull in the second game of any season, and sometimes we combat it by bringing them in on Saturday and lifting them and try to get the recovery sooner, and we didn't, and it hurt us. So, you know, training-wise and coaching-wise, we didn't do a good job with that in the second game. There's usually a, like I said, there's usually a lull in the second game of the season, so. But, you know, we rallied back. Our guys didn't quit, so I was proud of that. But I wasn't real happy with a lot of things we did at the beginning of the game, and our preparation, our just focus didn't seem there. And, you know, it's ultimately my responsibility, and I got to do a better job this week.
You've, the expectations, I think, are always going to be fairly high for your school and fans. And you don't mess around at the start of the season. You take care of, for example, you start this year with three straight county schools. It, you know, gives you a chance to see where you stand, but also, you know, everybody's looking to knock you off, right? The year after, especially after winning there, right? So this week we feel like
you know, we get everybody's best game because of that, and that's a neat thing. There's obviously respect for us, which is good and earned. You know, we are not a type of school with our history to get a lot of pre-league games with schools actually in our division. So makes it tough, and it's really physical. We're a smaller school. Most of the schools we're playing are bigger, have more students than we have. And so we just have to hope, our hope is always that we can get through it health-wise, and unfortunately we're not very healthy coming into this game. We've had got a couple defensive ends that are ailing. We have, you know, our kicker has an ankle, or we got a running back with an ankle. We have a hip flexor on a wide receiver, so we're pretty dingy. Mm-hmm. Pretty natural that into the third game you're going to get, you know, they got to still get in football shape. You know, the state of California has us where we can't do a lot of contact, and I've seen it as a detriment. I mean, the kids aren't ready to play, you know, physically ready to handle all that hitting. But, you know, somebody in Sacramento in a suit and tie is making the decisions, and I don't think they're getting a lot of input from guys in the field like me, you know, guys that have been around coaching a long time, or Matt Hunsaker or Bob Reed, or those kind of guys that have been around, that I would think that those are the type of guys you want to talk to, but evidently they haven't, and it's not good. It's, you know, we're having way more injuries than we used to have when we were allowed to have two scrimmages and allowed to have more contact. And so it's just something we're going to have to navigate.
Just one of those things is almost as simple, but not as simple as, you know,
getting those bruises in there. You know, cause your body's got to begin to prepare for those. I guess that's a big part of it. Tell me about your little quarterback, Kit. He knows how to lead a winner, but he's got an elevated role this year. Has he been the leader you've wanted him to be as we head into game three? How do you like him leading your offense?
He's been great. I'm really super proud of him. And he hung in there Friday and kept everybody's head. He probably, to me, had his best game I've ever seen him play because of the circumstance. And he had to deliver in the air. You know, they did a great job stopping our run. And they did, you know, they run blitzed us and did a lot of stuff. And, hats off to them. They played better than us. They should have beat us, you know. But our guys hung in there, and our conditioning paid off. They seemed to lose their conditioning in the mid end of the third, and obviously in the mid fourth quarter, their team seemed like they had kind of gave all they can give, and we started to get some stuff. But Kit just was a great leader and kept his head, kept his guys focus on the task, and delivered some nice balls there at the end and ended up getting the win.
Well, the way the schedule has panned out, you guys went sub-zero, I guess we call it. You're getting these three games out of the way as fast as you can. The good news is you've got some games under your belt. The bad news is Enterprise, playing their first game, they've got some film on you. Tell me a little bit about how you think this matchup will go and what you're concerned with playing them.
Well, you mentioned that, and I've had it said to me by all our coordinators that we were literally going into our third game just blind. You know, we have no, I think on the film we have from Enterprise, you know, there were four running plays. You know, we just have no idea really what they're going to do. You know, the scrimmage was against Red Bluff, so it was a big spread, you know, spread offense. We're not. So we're just going in line, and it's very frustrating for our coordinators, but it is what it is. Going to be tough because, you know, they're probably fresher than we are. You know, they'll have pregame, you know, first game jitters. We won't. Maybe an advantage to us, but we're pretty dinged up now after two weeks against some big, good schools, and so we're not going in at full power by any stretch.
But you get to play at home, and no matter what anybody says, especially in high school football, that's the best. That is, your fans are great, and you get to play at home, and I know that that's important.
Yeah, we have some advantages. You know, playing at home, we have, you know, again, it's, you know, we played two games. That's an advantage. You know, that is an advantage. You know, we're going to hope that they have some first game jitters, you know, and but Foothill didn't. Foothill seemed like they were five games into the year. So, you know, Coach Brown does a good job with those guys, man. They're ready to roll. So, but, you know, we're going to have to play well because we have a couple guys filling in. We just had a run of some stuff, you know, injury-wise. We even had one of our linebackers got bit by a dog, you know.
Oh, my.
He's been out. So we've just had all kinds of stuff, you know. So we're going to, you know, we'll do the best we can with who we have, but there'll be some new faces out there, and you know, hopefully we can keep it going. But you know, we play a tough Enterprise team, and we have not done well against them the last couple of years, so we're gonna have to play much better to try to beat them.
Talking to Coach Greg Grandel, who's the West Valley squad is 2-0 to start the year, and sending out the message that last year, of course, was just part of the big picture as they embark on a new campaign with championship hopes. That'll do it for Scorecard Scribblings this week. I'm Brent Weber. Be sure and join us Friday night as Coach Grandel's team will be entertaining the Enterprise Hornets. And Coach Combs, thanks to both of them and to Dave Cohen for joining us on this week's show. We'll see you next Wednesday night on Scorecard Scribblings, and hope you can tune in Friday night on KCNR for our Game of the Week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.